This is Mental Selling. This is the sales podcast for people that are dedicated to making a difference in customers' lives and have a purpose beyond just a paycheck. I'm your host, Will Milano. Let's get right into the show. Transparency and authenticity are essential components of connecting with buyers, and they're also pillars of connecting and creating a thriving sales culture within your organization. What do those look like in practice, though? How do those things help cut through all the noise that today's buyers receive and open doors with new prospects? And what does servant leadership look like when it comes to sales teams? To talk about all these things, I'm very pleased to be joined today by Radhika Shukla. With over 21 years of experience in strategic sales and sales leadership, Radhika has mentored and led high-performing sales teams in North America and Asia. She's currently Director of Enterprise Cloud Solution Sales with Oracle. And among her many accomplishments, Radhika has been recognized as number one in the top 10 women in manufacturing, and she received multiple awards during her tenure with Microsoft in things like Excellence for Customer Obsession and Top Sales Management. Radhika, I'm so glad to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. It's an honor being here as well.
I want to start asking sort of a high-level, open-ended question that I think you're really qualified to answer. Is today a good time to be in sales? If so, why?
Today is an exciting time to be in sales, and for several reasons. Customers, more than ever, they need personalized assistance, guidance. In the age of information overload, they seek trusted advisors. They seek thought leaders who can cut through the noise and actually provide tailored solutions. And while we have AI and automation, human interaction remains irreplaceable when it comes to building those relationships, nurturing them, understanding nuanced customer needs, and addressing complex concerns. And throughout my career, I have adhered to three key principles. One, it's very essential to focus on customer centricity, always putting the customer's needs first before your quota or anything else. Second is continuous learning and adapting yourself to the industry trends, market needs, staying updated on what's happening out there, emerging technologies. That's crucial. And lastly, integrity and honesty, they are non-negotiable. You should not come across as a seller who's just trying to meet their quota. Building trust is the foundation of successful sales relationships. So yes, it is an exciting time to be in sales, but you've got to do it right.
We have a particular affinity for trust and integrity at our organization. What made you realize early on that sales was right for you? What was the sort of that light switch that came on for you?
I realized that sales was the right path for me when I discovered a genuine passion for connecting with people, solving their problems. I love collaborating with multiple teams, cross-functional teams, and helping a customer genuinely achieve their desired business outcomes. It became evident that sometime during my career path, I enjoyed that challenge of understanding deeply what the customer truly wants and matching their business outcomes to our right solutions. And that satisfaction that comes with helping clients achieve their goals, accelerate their digital transformation journey, the dynamic nature of sales, I think it appealed to my personality and I jumped right in.
And you haven't looked back since?
No, I haven't. The thrill of closing deals, the continuous learning opportunities that have come my way, that is fulfilling.
Some of the people that listen to this show are people that are in sales that are relatively young in their career. From your perspective around to give some advice to people that are younger in sales and help them understand what their role could be, what their career could be, what is it that you think salespeople need early on in their careers of themselves? Of what do they need of the organizations that they work for? What do they need from their leaders? That sort of thing.
I will just speak from experience. I'm no expert, but there are five things that I have always focused on. So I hope it benefits someone out there who's listening to this. Number one, understand the value of relationships. Sales is all about relationships. It's not transactions. It's about building and nurturing long-term relationships. So you have to focus on understanding your clients, their pain points, how your product or service can genuinely benefit them. Second, it's all about continuous learning. I have taken 29 certifications and some people think I'm crazy But that's not true. I'm actually doing it for myself. The sales landscape is evolving rapidly. You have to stay updated on industry trends, emerging technologies, and sales techniques. And if you don't derive a thrill from that, it's not for you. A commitment to learning is essential for success. Thirdly, which is most important, I think, is embracing rejection. Rejection is a critical part of the sales journey. You have to realize that you don't take it personally. Use it as an opportunity to learn and improve, because that is a valuable trait. Resilience is a valuable trait that you will have to develop. Seeking mentorship. I think whatever I am today is because I was blessed with the best mentors in the industry. So find a mentor within your organization or industry who can provide you the guidance, share their experiences, and learning from those, you can really benefit and be successful in your job. So seek the right mentors. And lastly, consider your fit. Sales is not for everyone, and that's okay. Reflect on whether you genuinely enjoy connecting with people, whether you really find it fulfilling, solving problems, embracing the unpredictable nature of sales. And if it doesn't align with your interests and strengths, then it's essential that you explore other career paths out there.
One of the things that you mentioned that leads into the next thing I want to ask you, you talked about how salespeople and sales teams have to have a commitment to learning. When you've been involved with developing and training and coaching, leading sales teams, when you look at a salesperson's success, from your standpoint, what portion of salesperson's success is based on things like core blocking and tackling, sales techniques, and CRM how-to knowledge and product knowledge? And what portion would you say is based on things like their passion, confidence in themselves, the belief in themselves, and the products that they're representing? How would you break that out?
I would say a significant portion of sales success is grounded in passion, confidence, and belief in the products and services that you're representing. And it's challenging to assign an exact percentage, because the things that, like forecasting and all that you just mentioned, those are very important factors. But I do believe that if you don't have passion and if you don't have that confidence and belief, then it's going to be a challenging run for you. And that's what sets a good salesperson and a great one aside. When a sales professional is genuinely passionate about what they offer, it's contagious, and that resonates with your customers. Confidence instills trust and assurance, and belief in your service, the products that you are offering, allows for convincing communication of its value. If you don't have that, customers will be able to see through it. So while technical skills, strategies are essential, forecasting is essential, the emotional and personal aspects, such as passion, confidence, can contribute significantly to overall sales effectiveness. And they do play a substantial role in sales.
We talk about these issues a lot, and I've asked a lot of people on the show similar questions around this. Typically, where we focus in talking about it is how things like confidence and passion, it builds resilience through the inevitable ups and downs of being a salesperson. But I think what's really interesting that you pointed out is the aspect of how customers feel it and how customers gain confidence from your passion and belief. It's interesting to think of it not just from an internal, in your gut standpoint, but what your customers are seeing and experiencing and the difference that can make. I've heard you on other podcasts and things that you've posted on LinkedIn, what you call the three pillars of sales success. You talk a lot about transparency and authenticity in sales. Can you talk about the three pillars and maybe some examples of what that looks like in practice?
The three pillars of successful sales, according to me, are transparency, authenticity, and empathy. And they are essential in building trust and strong customer relationships. So what do they mean? Transparency means being open and honest about the product or service, including its limitations and pricing. Sometimes sellers don't feel comfortable talking about the limitations of a product. Again, that's something a customer will see through. If they find that out in the deployment and adoption phase, it's going to erode credibility. So a salesperson should actually clearly communicate any potential drawbacks of a product or service and help their customers make an informed decision. And this will really pay dividends in the long run. Authenticity involves being genuine, true to oneself while engaging with customers. It means avoiding scripted interactions and instead having some real meaningful conversations. Be that trusted advisor, be the thought leader. For all of this, it's very important that you listen actively to a customer's concerns, respond with empathy, and understand rather than following a rigid sales script. And that leads me to the third pillar, which is empathy. And empathy is the ability to put oneself in the customer's shoes, understand their needs. And I know I've been re-emphasizing this again and again, but it is critical. Offer solutions that genuinely address their pain points. For example, an empathetic salesperson might ask probing questions, trying to deep dive to uncover a customer's challenges. Sometimes they themselves don't know what those challenges are. They might just know it at a high level. But doing a deeper dive can help you discover so much more about their environment, about the gaps in their environment, and then tailor your product or service recommendations accordingly. And practicing this approach builds trust, fosters genuine connections, and leads to long-lasting relationships and repeat buying structure. They will come back to you to buy more. So prioritize transparency, authenticity, and empathy, not only just to close deals, but to create satisfied and loyal customers.
One of the things that stood out about what you just said is that idea that you've got to get off of sales scripts and actually be truly listening to what somebody's telling you or what they're asking you, so that you're not just pausing and letting them talk, but really thinking about what's the next thing I'm going to say, what's the next thing in my script, but that you're actually truly listening and engaging with them. Trust, authenticity, empathy, all those things, they can tell the difference if they're actually being listened to or if you're just leading them down a path that you're going to lead them down regardless of what they say.
And let me give you another example. Let's say you're a seller and you've entered the room with a set agenda. You have your presentation in place. You have your solution pitch ready. But let's say midway into the conversation, it's not resonating with the customer. They don't want to hear any part of it. They just want to talk about their business problems that may be very different from what you're pitching to them. I would say stop right there, pivot, and let the customer speak. You should just be on listen-only mode.
Given the time of year when this episode will be airing, and we're releasing it in early December, so it's that time of year where everybody's reflecting on the year that was and thinking about what they want to do differently and better and more of next year. Can you offer some advice for goal setting in 2024 and going beyond just coming up with this is what my revenue goal is going to be, but really thinking deeper beyond the numbers, the steps that salespeople should take along the way to make sure that those goals that they set and that revenue goal is top of mind throughout the year and that they're making progress against it? How do you think about approaching goal setting and what advice would you give?
It should be beyond just revenue targets. It's about defining a comprehensive vision, having a plan for both personal and professional growth. Start by considering what you want to achieve in various aspects of your career. It could be skill development, client relationships, leadership, more networking. Some of these are soft goals that you really can't measure, but think beyond numbers. Think about the impact you want to make on your organization and clients. And to keep these goals top of mind, break them into smaller actionable steps. Create a timeline for achievement. If it's about sales, then start by understanding your territory early on, creating an account plan, bringing in cross-functional teams to provide their inputs into that account plan, and then getting customer buy-in for that account plan. Regularly review and adjust milestones that are in your territory and account plan. Additionally, I think bringing in your partners early on is very important. In sales, several of us work regularly with the partner community and they help us scale. Just make sure that you bring them in early on. For me personally, I think I will just continue my journey of learning because I have seen that it pays dividends in the long run. I have used those certifications, I've leveraged them to my advantage because it has really helped establish instant credibility. And lastly, cultivate a growth mindset. everybody should be learning. And I know it's a work in progress, but learn to embrace challenges as opportunities for growth and learning. That's critical for every seller.
That's a really good point around part of goal setting should not be about the numbers, but it's setting goals around learning. What do I want to learn more about or get better at through training, development, coaching, peer networking, all those sorts of things? That's a really good component to think about for the next year is what do I want to learn more of and get better at? I think the other thing that you said that was really interesting was this idea of bringing your team to the table, whether it's internally or with external partners, that idea that, and we've talked about that before on this podcast, that selling is not a solo game and you've got to bring other people along with you. It's absolutely a team sport. No, that's excellent advice. In today's day and age, it's much harder than it's ever been to reach new prospective buyers there. Everybody gets inundated with emails and we get calls from unrecognized numbers and connection requests. And so much of prospective buyers' engagement with you or with your organization is done online anonymously, involves many more people than a salesperson realizes. Those people typically, they only make themselves known much later in the buying cycle. What are some strategies that you've seen work? And even more importantly, maybe what's the mindset that helps you break through all the clutter and reach those people and maybe help them come out of the woodwork earlier, and things that can help sustain you as a salesperson when doing constant outreach and prospecting and things like that? If people aren't responding, how do you build that credibility and trust in ways that will get them to respond or make themselves known to you earlier on?
If people are not responding, then you are doing something wrong. There are no bad customers, just bad sellers. Breaking through the noise in today's sales landscape requires a strategic approach and a resilient mindset. You have to be very consistent and you have to be persistent. Focus on providing value. That is essential. I've been saying it constantly in all my podcasts that rather than pushing for your product or service, create content that's meaningful, that's relevant, and engage in conversations that address your prospects' pain points and offer solutions. And be patient, be persistent. If they haven't responded to you, that means it hasn't resonated with them. It did not speak to them. So you have to dive deeper into understanding what your prospect truly cares about. Then craft your message. So your message has to be relevant, meaningful, and something that truly helps them solve their problem. There are a plethora of solutions out there. So yes, they are overwhelmed as well. And making wise, informed choices will depend a lot on how you are pitching to them. So keep a mindset of empathy. Understanding is crucial. Listening is very important. Recognize that buyers are overwhelmed. Maybe they are at different stages in their buyer's journey. Let's say if a company is starting out and they want to build a cloud center of excellence and they don't know how to move forward. Get in the boat with them. Try to strategize. Maybe start with a cloud adoption workshop. Understand their current environment. Get in the right stakeholders in the boat. See where the gaps are and then build their three horizon roadmap. McKinsey's three horizon roadmap is something I'm very passionate about. Optimize, innovate, and transform. But build it together. Practice active listening. Understand their needs genuinely. Build credibility, trust. And that takes time. You have to have patience. Consistency and authenticity are key. And consider using social selling platforms. LinkedIn Sales Navigator does a phenomenal job connecting you to the right stakeholders, establishing your professional presence, your credibility, engaging with your audience in a non-intrusive way. And above all, keep that customer-centric approach, growth-oriented mindset. And I think you can help your buyers cut through the clutter and you can eventually build meaningful relationships through that.
Those messages that you talk about, they've got to be very concise. You can't be sending people messages that are five paragraphs long and think that they're going to read through it and interpret what you want to come away with. Because I think what you're talking about when you say like deliver value, delivering value is not, hey, do you want to meet with me? Even though you know me from a hole in the ground. That's where sharing content, whether it's thought leadership content, things like that comes into play.
You have to earn their time. Why should C-suite executive give you time on their calendar? What have you done to earn that time? So your messaging has to be crafted in a very meaningful way.
You've said that your leadership mantra is, quote, inspire, empower, appreciate. I think that relates to this idea that you talk about a lot around servant leadership. Let's talk about servant leadership and what that looks like when it comes to sales leaders and how we can get more sales leaders to embrace that idea of servant leadership and go beyond just obsessing about numbers and activities and to-do lists, things like that.
So thank you, first of all, for listening to my podcast and talking about inspired, empowered, appreciate. I just came up with this through what I've observed over the years. My mentors have actually taught me this by exemplifying this model. They've always appreciated, cared truly for their sales teams. They have inspired me and I have emulated their leadership style and I've taken their coaching very well. So when I thought through what I liked about them, I came up with this inspire, empower, appreciate leadership model. And servant leadership is all about serving passionately, connecting authentically, and thriving collectively. It's all about prioritizing development and well-being of your sales teams. It involves being a coach, a mentor, rather than just being a manager focused on numbers. You would see out there great sales leaders, they understand what success means for their team. Success is tied to the success of their team members. Sales leaders are not just listening keenly to the customer's pain points, but also listening to their sales teams and their challenges, their pain points, coaching them every step of the way, helping them in their personal and professional journey. And to embrace servant leadership, I think organizations can provide leadership training, encourage a culture of empathy, collaboration. Leaders should lead by example, demonstrating a commitment to supporting their team. Walk the talk. Actively listen to their concerns, provide constructive feedback. I have grown immensely through feedback. Sometimes it was brutal feedback, but I loved it because I would rather have someone say it on my face than criticize me behind my back. I have learned immensely from the feedback that was given to me. A great sales culture is very important. It promotes teamwork, continuous learning, a customer-centric approach, fosters open communication, transparency, where team members feel valued, they feel empowered. Show vulnerability. Vulnerability is a strength. Show empathy. All along, I couldn't emphasize this enough. Please invest in ongoing training. Recognize and reward achievements. That makes a team feel so motivated. Some people don't thrive on compensation. People like me thrive on recognition. I get very motivated if somebody just sends me a note saying, hey, proud of you, way to go, kudos. That really fires me up. So ultimately, a servant leadership is taking that proactive approach, building that positive sales culture that can lead to higher morale, increased productivity, and better results for the entire team.
Those little things can add up. Those little tiny, it can be an email or text or just offhand comment in the hallway sort of thing, but it goes a long way to motivating the team, doesn't it? You talked about something else in there that I want to just ask a little bit more about, and it's around providing leadership training for sales leaders. And I'm sure you've seen this in your career, but a lot of people get elevated into sales leadership roles and they're not trained, or they're trained really superficially. When you tell them to go out and coach their teams, they don't really know what that means. There's a difference between managing and all of those, the important things around the numbers and quota and pipeline. There's a difference between that and coaching. And I think a lot of times companies leave it on the table or they leave it up to interpretation and they don't provide that development for the sales leaders to help them understand what that means and why they should be doing it.
I cannot emphasize that enough. Actually, I'm so glad I'm at Oracle. I was going through their leadership development training and I've seen there's training for first-time managers, there's training for manager of managers. If you do not have direct reports and you just want to be an influencer, there's a training for that. There's a training for being a thought leader, a trusted advisor. You think about it and there's a training for it. Sometimes training is not just enough. You have to have the right mentors who can help you make that actionable. So I think along with training, you also need the right mentors who can coach you and guide you along the way. I'm very blessed that at Oracle, I see that a lot. And even in my past experiences at Microsoft and IBM, I've seen that they truly invest in their people. I've been very lucky and blessed, and I hope people out there who are starting out their leadership journey, they get those opportunities as well.
Salespeople should make goals around is their learning objectives for the next year, but the organization plays such a big role in that too. The organizations should set learning objectives for their team along the way as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This has been a really good discussion, Radhika. Thank you so much for being with us today. I think people have learned a lot, and especially given time of year as everybody's reflecting on how far they've come this year and where they want to go in 2024. I think this is really relevant for them. So thanks for sharing everything with us today.
It's a privilege. If I can leave the audience with a one line at the end, it's just that thought leadership can set you apart in this crowded marketplace, open doors to new opportunities, get you closer to your target audience. So start soon and start by being consistent in sharing valuable insights and knowledge with your stakeholders that you truly care about. So good luck to everybody wherever they are in their sales journey. And I hope this was helpful.
You're preaching to the choir when it comes to the idea of sharing thought leadership and what that can do for you with both existing clients and your prospective buyers. So that's really good.
You know, I've talked a lot about listening to your customers' needs. They will reciprocate and listen to you only when you develop your reputation as a thought leader.
I heard somebody say that a big part of what thought leadership is helping your customers see around corners and see what's coming. And if you can do that, if you can help people see not just what's right in front of them today, but what's coming that they should be caring about 6, 9, 12 months from now, that's one of the things that'll really set you apart. So thank you again for being with us. And for our audience, thank you as always for joining us from wherever and whenever you might be listening. We really appreciate all of the momentum that listeners have helped this podcast to achieve this year. We do have another episode coming up before the end of this year, before we do a quick recap of some of the highlights of what we've heard this year. So thank you again to everybody for joining us. If you haven't yet, please leave us a rating or a comment or review wherever you might be listening to this. It really helps us to further develop and improve the show. Thanks for taking time out of your busy December season to be with us. And we look forward to having you with us next time. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening. And I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Mental Selling. Please make sure that you're subscribed. And as always, leave us a comment or a rating. Share it with your networks. You'll get more content like this on our website at integritysolutions.com. Until next time, I'm Will Milano with Integrity Solutions. Thanks very much again for being with us.